And a very good evening to you, Alan Irwin, in for Steve Hollisaw with the legends themselves. Delighted to say Aldo's made it back from Serbia in one piece, and Graham Sharp, ever present as always. What are we looking ahead to tonight? Well, certainly the weekend. Can Liverpool recover after defeat to Red Star Belgrade? Should he have played the weakened team against Fulham instead? We will answer those questions for you. Did Jurgen Klopp actually underestimate the Serbian opponents? Everton, of course, go to Chelsea at the weekend. They've not won there since 1994. It's about time they ended that 24-year wait. So plenty to debate, of course. We'll look forward to the weekend fixtures. We'll talk about the fact that Alisson has been named the best goalkeeper in the world. Not sure what poll that was in. We might just touch on Champions League from last night with Manchester United's unbelievable recovery. It was like 1999 all over again.
No, let's not do that.
We tell you what we will touch on, though. Raheem Sterling making a little bit of a fool of himself as he won a penalty for kicking the Etihad turf. Joe Royal's back in football, and Peter Reid is with him at Wigan Athletic. So plenty on the agenda tonight. We want your involvement, of course. 0151 4720 967 is the number to call. John Aldridge and Graham Sharp, good evening to you both.
Good evening. Hi, Al.
How was it then, Aldo?
Apart from the game, it was it was very interesting. You know, what a city. You know, it's been war torn for years, as we know. History is fascinating. The hotel was lovely. Food was lovely. Their own wine was pretty nice. I had a couple of glasses. But
the 90 minutes football spoilt your enjoyment of a great 24 hours, by the sounds of it.
But I have to say, the best atmosphere I've witnessed in my life.
Wow.
Wherever I've been.
Certainly came across anyway.
120 minutes out, non-stop. Non-stop from even before the game started. It was pretty amazing to witness it at first hand. I have to say, most of the people are what we call Liverpool here, crackers. Absolutely crackers. But if you know about the history, that goes with it as well. But the passion they showed, the desire, on and off the pitch, and commitments on the pitch was outdone Liverpool. I think, and we've talked to Sharpie before, we've been into certain situations, both the Republic of Ireland, Scotland, Liverpool, Everton, Sociedad or wherever. You know, you go to places and you know you've got to dig deep, you know. Like, you go there, they're not the best team in the world, but you know they're going to give you blood, guts and thunder. Mm. And Liverpool should have been prepared for that perhaps a little bit more.
Surely Klopp knew that.
Well, I thought so. He must have thought that we had a bit more, you know, ingenuity, call it what you want, to break him down. But they've got to give him credit. Defensively, they were very good. We were very poor. Midfield didn't function. The front three got little or no service. When Sturridge missed that opportunity, which was simplistic.
17 minutes in as well.
That's the game changer. Liverpool get that. It quite deadens the crowd. It gets them on in the wrong frame of mind. Once they get the first goal, you could smell it. It's on. They've got something to hold on to. Second goal, I don't think with the score that we're still playing now, to be quite honest. Mm. You know, it was just the way it was. One of those games we've all been there. Mm. But I was few players, you know, I don't like to say didn't fancy it, but maybe should have fought a little bit harder on the pitch, possibly.
Mm. Similar to the Napoli performance?
No, similar-ish. Yeah, but Napoli had... Napoli are a better team. Yeah. You know, we matched them. But these went out like they were going to war. These 11 players, they rolled their sleeves up and they just blood, sweat and tears. They went through every tackle they wanted to win. Every second ball they wanted to win. And as I say, they're not the best team.
But they're a force to be reckoned with on their own soil.
They're
the worst team in the group.
They're the
worst team in the group. But as John says at home, you know, everybody says about... Yeah. The atmosphere at Liverpool when Liverpool play at Anfield, you know, and it's the same. They've got that behind them, you know, and they'll cause teams problems because of that.
Yeah.
You know, listen, they're not bad players, but they're not great players. But I think with the backing of that crowd, just pushes them up another level.
Have you ever had any examples yourselves where you felt a little bit intimidated going onto a field?
Yeah. Yeah, Turkey's one for me. Turkey was a big one. Yeah. I'll tell you what was one for me, and it's Republic of Ireland. We went to play Northern Ireland around about 1990. Massive game. We needed the draw. on water to qualify for the World Cup in 94. No, but it was only 16,000 there. No, there was no Republic of Ireland fans there. Mm. You couldn't hear a pin drop in the stadium. Mm. It was completely opposite to what I witnessed the other night. Mm. But it was a horrible atmosphere because right. they were the dark days in Ireland. Let's not forget that was really embittered in many, many ways. I remember that one that stood out. But this was manic.
Is that a time when you don't want to be on the football pitch? You mean?
Well,
it's a mental thing, isn't it? It's as John says as well. Some guys are stronger than the others. Yeah. You know, mentally strong. You know, some look at it and go, "I don't fancy this." Mm. You know, especially if they get a kick in the first minute and go, "Let's test them out and see if they're going to stand up to you or not." Mm. You know, so some would have seen that crowd. Listen, everybody say, "Oh, they get paid well enough; they should be able to cope with that." Blah blah blah. It's all right saying that, but sometimes you know, they're maybe not as mentally strong. You know, whereas where they've had it all good. And you know, a lot of young lads here as well, and for the first time they've had it, they've seen that, and they've thought, "Wow,
the likes of Trent and
maybe."
Yeah, I've seen teams, and we all have Liverpool fans seen teams fold, you know, at Anfield when they come out, they go, "Wow," you know, it does intimidate. It gets the same players. They're not every player is the same, and it affects the game.
What about Shaqiri's lack of involvement and not even being able to travel?
You can look at it, right, you can agree with it. I can understand.
Yeah.
I tell you what, seeing them at first hand, the Serbians, I can really understand.
So they would have been even more fired up had he been on the pitch.
No, I can understand Jürgen's philosophy and feeling it. It didn't help us because in the midfield, we didn't function. We had nothing going forward. Lallana is miles away. He's miles away at the moment for me. The other two lads... You know, Milner had, you know, probably his worst game of the season because he's been tremendous this year. Mm-hmm. It just happened when Wijnaldum was in between things and we didn't get older than midfield in many ways. But the linchpin from midfield up to up front, it's been a little bit of a problem all season. We haven't quite got the balance, you know. And the front three still aren't clicking. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's it's a worry.
Henderson,
so it's a little bit of a worry. Sorry?
Henderson, a miss?
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, you know, he could, you know, I can't understand why some people, you know, don't...
He divides opinions, doesn't
he? I can't see, because he does give Jürgen the type of game plan that he wants, because he's pivotal. He's like a... He's like someone orchestrating the, you know, the band and whatever. Yeah. So, but anyway, you know, we just got to try and move on. It was... We're still in with the shout, you know. It's not going to be easy. You need to get a draw in Paris, you know.
You can see that in
Paris. I don't know.
They're still open, aren't they, Pierce?
Yeah, we looked at the Liverpool game and we said, I remember coming in here afterwards and saying, wow, you know, it's like a team without three players. The three up front just play whatever they want to do. Don't chase back, don't do this. So Liverpool, for me, can still get a result over there.
They probably don't chase back. Even more.
No,
on
exactly.
Their own,
that's what
on their
I'm saying.
Own
so they'll just say there, and I still think that Liverpool will be too strong for them. Because, as I say, I don't think PSG are a team. I think they're made up of a team of individuals, not necessarily a team. And I just think that, you know, they'll have looked at that Liverpool result and thought, wow, we're back in with a great chance here.
Right,
you know, so mentally, they'll see how strong they are. But from a football point of view, I'd still fancy Liverpool to get something from that.
Yeah. As far as Everton are concerned, Sharpie, just the good news front today. Michael Keane's been recalled to the England squad for a non-event against the USA, but an important game against Croatia, which follows.
Yeah, I think it's thoroughly deserved. I think Michael's been great this season. I think he had a lot of criticism last year and he struggled a little bit, you know, after his move from Burnley. But I think that he had an injury which didn't help him. But, you know, I think he's been excellent this season. He thoroughly deserves it. Obviously, there's a lot of competition for places, but... For him, it's a reward for knuckling down under a new manager as well and performing, you know, week in, week out. So, well played to him. Delighted to see him.
Yeah, and he's got to go down to Chelsea on Sunday where Everton are desperate for a result and up against Ross Barkley. If he starts the game, he's playing tonight, actually, and he's been named in the starting 11 at Chelsea.
He dragged off at the weekend, didn't he? It wasn't one of his better games, but Ross has been in good form. Listen, tough tie at Chelsea. Everybody knows that. He told us before, Al. 94 was the last time we won down there. Tough. But listen, I was speaking to somebody earlier this week, and we were just saying that the difference now is incredible. But the supporters are actually going down with a little bit of hope.
Yeah.
You know, simply because you see their team having a go. You know, under Koeman and Allardyce, I think he would already have written this game off. you know, and looked at it and said, oh, but we're not getting anything here, and looked towards the Cardiff game and putting all the eggs in the basket for the Cardiff game. But this manager, no, he wants to see his team going down there and attack them. Listen, they've got some fantastic players, Hazard, people like that. Delighted they're playing today.
Yeah, Hazard's starting the game tonight.
Yeah, delighted they're playing tonight, Thursday.
I think
another
the
game.
One thing with Chelsea, you know, they do give you a little, some opportunities at the back at their place. You know, they do concede that, you know, at least one. If Everton can defend really, really well, and you have to against the right people, you know, we've seen them, as you said, you know, tremendous player. No, but I didn't realise it was 94 last time, though, Sharpie. It's a long time.
Yeah, it's a minute. Yeah.
Wow.
And, of course, there'll be a change in defence, Sharpie, as well.
Yeah,
Michael Keane will have another defensive partner alongside. Mina, it will be Mina, won't it?
Yeah, I would imagine so. But Mina and Jagielka played in the friendly on Tuesday night. It was easy for them, you know, for both of them. Listen, he might surprise us all and play three centre-backs. You know, with Jagielka,
include Jagielka
and Mina.
Yeah, because Jags played on Tuesday night in that friendly, and Mina played the whole game virtually.
He might do that and put Seamus and Dina further forward, you know, and Gomez in the middle with Idrissa Gueye. So he might do that, and then you've got your three up front who could hopefully cause him problems.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see what he does, but he's got options there, and that's a good thing. In most positions, he's got options.
Yeah. What happened on Tuesday night then? What was the score?
4-0.
Was it to the Kenyans?
And I didn't see nothing, Sharpie.
Was it a good workout for players who needed it?
It was good
it was
for them.
A fairly strong side, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was good for them.
Sometimes you need that, you know, players who've not been playing.
It was good for the Kenyans just to.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
But I tell you what, who gave the supporters all stupid
vuvuzelas all round Goodison Park. Crowded just under 10,000. It wasn't a bad turnout. It was a friendly 9,500. We might talk more about that later on. Let's get to the lines, because we've been neglecting them. We've got Grizz on the line, have we? Are you there, Grizz? No.
How you doing, guys?
Hello.
You want to talk about Jurgen Klopp?
Basically just trying to sort of, you know, look in the aftermath of that debacle that was Tuesday, and just wanted the lads' opinions and views and sort of, I mean, a lot of scrutiny has since come on the sort of the players and sort of underperforming, but I just wanted the lads' views on, do they think that maybe Jurgen Klopp underestimated this time, sort of in terms of his selection and formation that he sort of played?
I don't think Jurgen ever underestimates any game. To be honest, I think he fielded a team that he thought was capable of winning it, you know, which really, if they matched them for an endeavour and you won your personal battles, we possibly might have done, you know, because we're a far better team than, you know, but you've got to give them full credit. They were worthy of the win. You know, it was just one of those nights where, as we said before, a few players went missing. They wanted more than us, and in front of goal, we weren't the best. To be fair, our corners summed our game up, I think, quite rightly, because we had about 15 corners and they were awful. So I don't think it was the case. I think it would have told him something at the end of the game for future reference. When, for me personally, I wouldn't have seen the team. I didn't like the team that was put out. I thought it was a little bit flimsy. I think he was going to play Lovren, but obviously, he got sick, so he put Matip up there. He struggled a little bit, Matip. Daniel Sturridge, you know, had an opportunity. You know, he's done well this season, Daniel Sturridge. But obviously, you know, with him not getting that chance, he faltered a little bit. He brought him off at half-time. And Lallana was just in between things, you know. And we weren't, the other players who you can normally bank on weren't at the very best for whatever reason, you know.
Gris, would you have played Joe Gomez then instead of Matip from the off?
Well, Aldo, I'm sorry I've called you Aldo like I've known you for years.
That's right. You're on Grace, you know, best mate now.
I'm not watching that, don't worry.
Aldo used the word flimsy when he saw the team lineup. And I'm not one to sort of start moaning as soon as the lineup's announced, you know, because how many times has Klopp proved us wrong, time and time again, that if, you know, he knows best? But that's exactly my thoughts when I saw the team. Because in the first leg, but the home tie, I was there at Anfield. And if anything, this team, Red Star, were very physical, even in that game.
I mean, absolutely.
I mean, there was a fair few units, you know, 6 foot plus. And I was telling my mates that day, I said, we better be sort of on it in that set, in that Red Star, in a, when we go to Belgrade, because this team, you know, is we you know we better not underestimate them. And I just thought when I saw that team, I thought flimsy, you know, Lallana, Matip, Trent even is not having the best of times. Mm-hmm. Daniel up front, Daniel Sturridge up front. I just thought it was really odd. The main selection that sort of irked me was Fabinho. Mm-hmm. I mean, by all accounts, he literally bullied them in that first game. Mm-hmm. And I thought this would be his ideal game to sort of get his mojo back, sort of after the Arsenal, you know, yeah. So-so performance.
Good point, Chris.
I just thought, you know, we've got to be up for this physically. And because they weren't never going to out-football us, were they? They were never going to out-skill us.
That's right.
And in front of their partisan crowd, we knew, you know, we should have been known that they're going to just sort of almost be like a Premiership away game, isn't it? To a lower team club, you know,
yeah.
Where we've got to be up for the fight.
Going away, you know, to one of these grounds, different type of grounds in the FA Cup. And if you're not prepared, mm-hmm. you can get turned over. That's what you said before, and I came away from the game when we battered them at home. I said, if we're not right away from home, against them, because they're going to come out, they're going to get right amongst us, they're going to try and bully you, they're going to get in your faces, you know, it's going to be difficult if you don't get a grip of the game. And when I seen the team, exactly what you said, it was spot on. It was going to be difficult. If the lads weren't up for it, you know, it was one of those banana skins, big time, and that's what exactly happened.
But do you think, John, as well, looking at that and everything both of you say is right, but Klopp knows that as well. Klopp sees that. So I'm sure he's said to the players as well, listen, he's given them all the warnings. Yeah. These are going to be up for it.
Yeah, exactly.
Listen, and he trusts those players.
Yeah.
He trusts those players. He works with them day in, day out. So whilst we all have opinions about, and Chris says he should play this one or that one, John, you said you were surprised at this one. He's worked with those players for ages. So he'll be really disappointed on those players because he said, and I understand what both of you are saying and I agree with you, but I just think him, he's put that side out thinking they've got enough.
Yeah.
But on the night, they didn't turn up.
Yeah. Chris, thanks for your points.
Good point, Chris.
Great points indeed. Yeah. Thanks very much for calling the Legends. 0151 472 0967 is the number to call. Very interesting chat indeed. Keep your calls coming in. Plenty more to debate very shortly on Radio City and Radio City Talk. It's the Legends with Aldo and Sharpie. The Legends, 8 minutes before 7 o'clock. Aldo and Sharpie in the studio. It's Alan in the hot seat for Steve. This evening, plenty still on the agenda. We look forward to the weekend's games. We've already analysed why Liverpool lost in Belgrade. I think it's time to talk maybe the Blues, because Everton go to Chelsea and they've not got a good record there. But they're in decent form, certainly at home. Obviously, they did not win their last away game at Manchester United. It's about time they broke this monopoly of not being able to win at homes of the so-called top six. So let's see what our next Blue has got to say about it. Is it Si? Si is our Blue. And are you there, Si?
I am. You all right?
Yeah, thanks very much for calling. Sharpie's here to listen to all your points.
Hi, Sharpie. You all right?
Si. Okay, yeah. All right, Paul.
Yeah, just wondering what you thought of Richarlison and sort of what his best position is going to be for us going forward, because obviously he started off out on the wing and scored goals out there. He's come in and played sort of as a bit of a number nine as well, and scored goals there. Where do you see him fitting in? Do you see him going back out wide? Or
I think it's at this moment in time, I think, you know, he showed again at the weekend. You know, he played well and scored two goals. I just think against, as Alan said before, the top six teams, where it's harder, I think, to play up front on your own, but certainly he's got the ability. He's strong enough. He's game enough. He's obviously got talent. Personally speaking, I think he's better off wide, but he can play down the middle. But I think he plays better down the middle when he's playing against, as you said, or I said, sorry, outside the top six sides. I think when they're up against the defenders that the top six have got, they're a little bit more knowledgeable than what he's come up against and what he came up against at the weekend there. But listen, he can still play there. He can still play, don't get me wrong. But I personally think he does more damage on maybe the left-hand side, and he strikes up a good partnership with Dania. And they've got a good... And then, listen, Bernard's been playing over there. So it might be a little bit unfortunate for him. But for me personally, going ahead, I think that he maybe be a wide player, whether he can play right or left, and maybe look to maybe in January or in the summer, maybe look at the centre-forward position and maybe strengthen that somewhere along the line. But listen, if he's asked to do a job there, I'm sure he'll do it. He's certainly a game lad.
Definitely. I mean, if he plays in the middle against Chelsea, you look at... I mean, they've got a mistake in their centre-half, haven't they? You know, and he punished Duffy on Saturday against Brighton.
He did, so, as I said. I think because the game was so open and they could get the ball into his feet, you know, easily on Saturday against Brighton, I think against Chelsea it'll be more difficult to do that, and he'll be up against probably David Luiz. And listen, there's a mistake there in him, but I don't know if he'll change it. You know, I think he may well start with Richarlison through the middle. I think he may start.
I think he will, because I think the general consensus is that Tosin is not the man to necessarily lead the line long term.
Yeah, well, you've got Calvert-Lewin there as well. He might get a little bit of height there. He might cause more problems aerially than what Richarlison will do. But I think the manager's got good problems in the fact that he, to leave out or whatever. And I just think that, you know, depending on what he goes with, he could well go with three centre-backs and change the formation of the team, but he may well stick with what he's got. But I think Richarlison, you know, is a big player for us now. And I think as the games go on, he'll be getting marked tighter and tighter.
What about Si? Would you advocate a return for Luckman?
Oh, definitely, yeah. I think Luckman out on the right with Richarlison up front on his own, if that's what we're going to go with, then Richarlison up front on his own with Bernard out left. I think Theo Walcott needs to step back a little bit. I think he needs to be shown that he can be dropped as well. His form against Brighton, he was better than he was a couple of weeks before, but I think there's still sort of the nightmare of Manchester United in a few people's minds.
Yeah.
Luckman showed in the week, again, it was only, you know, it wasn't top-class competition, but he showed that he's game, he's up for it, he'll run around, he'll chase everything, and he's got a finish on him as well. So, you know, I think we paid £8 million for the lad, we've got to give him a chance at some point, haven't we?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think he's done well. You know, he's obviously in the manager's thoughts. I think I'd be surprised. You know, I'd be surprised if he starts him. I think he'll continue with Walcott.
Has he responded, chap? Because we were talking about him a couple of weeks ago, Luckman, because his attitude wasn't great.
Nope.
Has he turned the corner on that a little bit?
He has, John. I think he's got better. He's been given more of an opportunity
knuckled
now.
Down a bit.
Yeah, and he's knuckled down a little bit. From the pre-season game when he came on and just tossed it off. It was just a case of I'm no bother kind of thing, and that attitude. But I think the new manager's got a hold of him. He can see positive things in him. The guy, the player, can look at it and think he's back in on the fringe of things now, and it's up to him to try and push for a start. But as I said, I think Walcott will probably start. As I said, I think Bernard will. I think he'll probably stay the same with the front three players, with a Charleston through the middle. But it'd be interesting to see long term what the future holds.
Okay,
he's said a lot as well. He's said a lot, Marco Silva, hasn't he? That he doesn't change the way. He's not going to change his philosophy. He's going to carry on playing the way we play.
Yeah.
So this is the way we're going to play, and it's just really about the personnel, isn't it?
Well, Si, I don't know about you, but obviously going to places like Arsenal and Manchester United this season, I think everybody that's gone to those games have at least seen their team have a go, and that's something that hasn't been like that for a few years now, where they've just shut up shop and tried to defend and show no ambition whatsoever and have thousands of fans streaming out at half-time, bored out the tree. You know, at least their team now is going there and having a go. And that's what the Everton fans want to see, their teams having
a go. We've got the players capable of doing that as well, haven't we?
Yeah,
we've got the ability to go and have a go. And, you know, United, we felt hard done by. Arsenal, we were hard done by the linesman. So, you know, maybe Sunday...
Third time lucky.
3 points at Chelsea, Si. Yeah. Thanks very much indeed, Si. Great points.
Cheers,
thanks a lot. That's Si Blue. Let's head straight back to the lines. Terry is waiting to talk to us, and Aldo in particular, no doubt. Evening to you, Terry. Welcome to the Legends.
Hi, gents. You okay?
Hi, Terry.
Hello, lad. Hi, Terry.
Yeah, I mean, I just wanted to talk really about, and I know some of the other callers have spoken about the Red Star game, and a lot of the talks being around maybe the lineup and some of Klopp's initial selections. I mainly wanted to talk a little bit more about the in-game management, really, and what you guys thought about the in-game management, because from my perspective, I mean, when I looked at the substitutions, he's gone out with Matip as a starting centre-half, and he's put Sturridge up, and Sturridge didn't have a great first half. But then, come half time, you're 2-0 down, you'd expect Red Star are probably going to dig in at that point and sit back. And then the way the substitutions that Klopp then came out with, and basically he took Trent off for Gomez, which, rightly or wrongly, probably should have started with Gomez, but that seems a strange substitution when you're 2-0 down. And then he took Sturridge off, for Firmino, and left Lallana on the pitch, which I question taking a striker off. For another striker, rather than taking Lallana off, who I think was quite ineffective in the game.
Mm-hmm.
When you could have put Firmino in as the attacking midfielder, and he would have given you plenty into the midfield as well. Because he's got that work rate. So, I don't know whether you agree, but from my perspective, just looking at some of the substitutions and things that I think Klopp's making in his in-game management at the moment just seems to be lacking.
We all see the games differently, don't we? First of all, good point. I think Trent struggled a bit. His first half, he just wasn't himself. And the last few games, you know, he's just not been himself, Trent, for whatever reason. But he'll come back. He's young. You know, he'd be better for it, for the experience. Gomez came on, was our best player. He was our best player for the second half, without a doubt. Yeah. Done nothing wrong, got forward as much as he could. You know, we end up having to long throws trying to get something in the end. It was that desperate.
You've got to throw in, coach.
Yeah. I think what Terry's saying, you know, it's quite valid when you think. Look, I agree with Lallana. He was, you know, he looks like he's been out in and out from injuries for a long time now, and he's miles away. Mm. He's miles, but the manager's trying to play him to get, you know, to get him, you know, fit game fitness, you know, match fitness. But he still for me, doesn't. He's in between things
too
much.
Such an important game to play him in.
Yeah, he's in between. He's not really.
But doesn't this go back to seeing, and we've said it time and time again, play your best team.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we say it all the time.
Play your best team.
If he'd have got the result, he might be able to play a weakened team against Napoli at home when the job's done and dusted.
I agree. I totally agree. Lovren was ill, so I take it Lovren was going to play because he's, you know, Matip's. At this moment in time, he's the reserve player, isn't he? So he could have made it more solid at the back, but obviously that was a bit of a blow. But the substitution, because of the Shaqiri thing, we didn't have. Well, Keita was on the bench now. For me, you're saying, you know, okay, if he's going to make a substitution, for me, Keita should have been the one for Lallana and see what Sturridge does for 10, 15 minutes. That's what I would have done, but that's only me, you know. But for whatever, he didn't put him on at all. So, and people are saying, you know, is he fit? Is he not Keita? Well, he shouldn't be on the bench if he's not fit.
True.
You know, that's the thing. So I think you'll see a difference on Saturday. Fabinho will play on Sunday, sorry. Yeah. Fabinho will play. I'm sure Keita will play. And possibly Shaqiri.
Yeah.
You know, one of them, maybe two, will definitely play.
Just on the Shaqiri point, I mean, the other thing that I find quite interesting there is that obviously I imagine the club have known that he's not going to be travelling to Red Star ahead of the Arsenal game, but then he only gets 10 minutes at the end of the Arsenal game when that felt like a game that was screaming out for him to get at that Arsenal defence.
Good point.
Match them up with Fabinho and someone else alongside him as a platform for Shaqiri to get at that defence.
Yeah, because we lost
like
our way a bit,
didn't we? Decision making's a bit disjointed.
In the midfield, we lost our way. You're right, you know, and everyone was saying that. I was watching the game with quite a few mates, and we were saying, you could do with him coming now and opening them up because the game was a little bit wide open, and for his creativity, we perhaps could have got the winning goal.
Mm. Yeah. Terry, points well made. Terry. You're in the dugout on Sunday alongside Jurgen Klopp. Thanks very much.
Well done. Cheers,
Terry cheers. With the points about in-game management of Jurgen Klopp himself. Right.
He hasn't done too bad.
No, he hasn't.
You know what the thing is? It's easy to come in after a defeat and start quick. But it's not been a bad start to the season.
No, it hasn't. And just a point on that PSG game, it comes on the Wednesday before the weekend of the derby. So be interesting to see what side he feels
for PSG,
the Wednesday and then.
No, PSG will...
He's got to go strong.
PSG will go with the kickers and kick 7 days.
Got to go strong both games. Yeah, you've got to go strong. You know, and you're looking at Al. You know, it's PSG, Everton. You know, and then you got Burnley. You know, it's Bournemouth, game, yeah. game, two games a week.
Wednesday, Sunday.
They're all tough. Yeah. You know,
they're all tough indeed. Right, it's the Legends. 01514720967. Aldo and Sharpie even waiting for your calls. Might just do a bit of a quiz next to test the knowledge of these boys. On the way, on the Legends. Yeah, almost bang on 10 minutes after 7 o'clock. It's Alan Irwin in for Steve Hoversall on the Legends. Aldo and Sharpie in the studio. Aldo back in one piece from a wonderful experience over in Serbia, where Liverpool lost, of course, by 2-0. Plenty of calls around Liverpool's lineup, etc., and Klopp not managing games properly. Is he missing his right-hand man, Aldo? The brains, as he was called, Zeljko Buvac, who something went wrong at the end of last season and he departed.
Yeah, well, first of all, you look at the league position. We've done really well in the league. Yeah. You know, you've got to take that in consideration.
Seem to forget, still unbeaten.
Yeah, you know, you do, but there is a problem going forward. You know, defensively, I don't know, the new coach who's come in or who's helping him, maybe he's sorted out the pack. But going forward, we've lost that link up, you know, and the exciting way that we were getting forward and cutting teams up on the counter-attack, and, you know, Salah and Mane and Firmino in particular, they're not playing, you know, well, Firmino in particular, you know, he's lost. So maybe Duda's just not quite where they are. Can you say Buvac is that reason? I'm not sure. I don't know.
Maybe we're being too harsh.
But there is something going forward what we lack. But whether he's the man, I'm not sure. I'm not sure.
Okay, let's do this. Time for a bit of a quiz. Some wonderful little background music, just to add to the tension.
9-2 the scorers.
9-2 in your favour, Sharpie?
No, hold on. It was 8-2 before. Did you beat Dominic again?
Yeah, beat Dominic.
Dominic's doing me no harm.
Oh, yeah, I was listening on Monday. Yeah,
tiebreaker as well.
Sharpie's won about 8 tiebreakers.
Go on then. Who's Muggs away? Must be Aldo first. Yeah. So, any number, 1-6.
I'll go number 3.
Number 3. Oh, you should get this. We've been talking about it all night. The last time Everton beat Chelsea at Stamford Bridge in the league was 1994. Everton won by 1-0. But who scored the goal?
What? In 94?
Yeah. It's been well documented because every time Everton play Chelsea, this is brought up all the time.
Do you know what? I'd have to just have a guess and say Big Dunk.
Have we got a right and wrong?
Yeah, you should have.
Where are they?
Come on now.
No, they're not.
Can't get the staff
right
anymore,
wrong.
Chris.
Yeah, just go there.
We'll go there. How about this?
You look at that. That's
right in the ankle.
Horrible little man that is, I tell you.
Was it either Paul Ryder or Graeme Stewart?
You tell me.
I think it might have been Graeme Stewart.
No. Oh! No, that's wrong. It wasn't. It was right. Paul Wright. It's just the button is wrong.
Right,
it was Paul Wright. You're thinking of Arsenal. Graeme Stewart scored at Arsenal.
Sharpie didn't get a point there, does he?
No.
He got it wrong, anyway.
You got it wrong, so I get a point.
No.
Okay. I'll go for number 6.
Number 6. Oh, it's mystery voice time. Got your headphones on?
He's never missed one of these. He gets them all the time.
Have a listen. It's very, very short.
Yeah, life's good.
What?
I didn't know it was that short.
Oh, yeah. Go on again.
Yeah, life's good.
Yeah, life's good.
Wow. That is a difficult one.
I think it's Theo Walcott.
Neil Walcott.
Theo Walcott.
Theo Walcott.
He did, and he saved it, and made history. The first time ever that a penalty kick has not been converted in the FA Cup final here.
That's rotten.
Who put that in our miss?
That's rotten.
That's a miss.
I retire.
That's a miss.
Who was it?
The mystery voice. You any idea, John?
I didn't have a clue, no.
Joe Cole. The reason we put him in, he's 37 today.
Oh, wow, great.
Right, so 0-0.
That was tough, Dan.
Aldo, 1, 2, 4 or 5?
5.
Tony Bellew is fighting Alexander Usyk at the weekend. Spell his surname.
T-O-N-Y.
No, it's his Christian name.
He said, hold on a minute. He said Tony Bellew.
Yeah. He said
spell Tony's first. I just got it right.
Surname, I said. Spell his surname.
Oh, the other fella?
Yeah.
I give up.
Oh, no. That's
Alexander
easy.
Usyk.
Should be quiet.
It's only four letters.
He's given... Oh, hold on a minute.
Usyk. I've seen it in the paper loads of times. But Usyk.
Yeah. Spell it.
I've seen that, yeah. J.
J.
You look at that. That's
ooh,
horrible,
right in the ankle.
Horrible little man that is, I tell you.
USYK.
Spot on. No points though. No bonus points on that one. That's far too easy.
The only good thing.
Still
Sharpie
nil. Sharpie.
Yeah.
What have we got? 1, 2, or 4?
2.
Number 2. What team has appeared in 3 European Champions League finals but never won the competition?
Ooh.
Ah, tough one that. 3 European stroke Champions League finals but never won the competition.
Good question.
You're not Googling it now, Sharpie.
No.
It's just deep in thought.
No.
Tough one.
It is tough.
It is tough. Go for it.
So what's your, by the way?
Yeah, we'll have to, we're going to put...
Roma.
We're going to put the timer on.
Go
on. Roma is...
You look at that.
Right.
That's ooh,
right in the ankle.
Horrible little man that is, I tell you.
Spanish side.
I would
the
say
other Madrid.
I thought I was going to Atletico. See
yeah.
That.
Yeah. Ah. Right, 2 to go. Number 1 or number 4?
High scoring game.
Yes.
Yeah.
Could go to a tie break.
Yeah.
1.
Wrong one.
Number 1, what player has covered more distance per 90 minutes in the Premier League this season than anyone else? What player has covered more distance per 90 minutes in the Premier League this season?
That could be anyone.
So he averages... I'll tell you what he averages.
No, never mind what he averages.
Oh, well, I think Aldo's going to know.
Yeah.
When I say it's 12.7 kilometres each game.
Dear me. That...
You should get
that's
this.
It's the boy Mitrovic from Fulham.
I'd only have a guess at James Milner. Yeah,
yeah. James Milner it is.
But go on then, so I need this for the equaliser.
Yeah, this for the equaliser. Name this song and the artist. Name this song and the artist.
It's Elton John.
And the song is called...
Rocket Man.
Does that mean we're going to a...
another tie-break.
A tie-break.
And it's John to have the first go at this.
Right. Liverpool have played Fulham 67 times in all competitions. This is mad.
Yeah. This is the one I got the other night.
Liverpool have played Fulham 60... You should get it right then.
No, not this one. It's
67 times in all competitions.
Yeah.
But how many of these games have been drawn?
Oh.
67 matches in all comps, so that's home and away. How many have been draws?
I would guess.
Is that the whole history?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
I would guess 12.
What do you reckon, Sharpie?
Higher or lower?
That's a good guess, that, yeah.
That's a very good guess. It's a very good guess. I would say slightly higher.
So 13, you're going to say?
No, I'll just say slightly higher.
So you're saying 13?
No, I'm saying it's higher, and that's the way it goes.
No, you've got to
guess. It's higher or lower.
It's higher or lower.
Yeah.
Ah, yeah. Right. In that case...
Oh! What a goal! Oh!
What was it?
You've got to play the tune
16,
now.
You were close.
16, another tie break, Sharpie. You're unbeatable on them.
10-2.
Yeah, 10-2 indeed. So... Absolutely. So you're 10-2 up.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
What would you have gone for there on draws?
I was very close to you.
No, what would you say?
What did you say?
12.
I would have said about 16.
Good answer.
I'm round about the same as that, honestly, yeah.
Oh, let's get to the Lions and get away from the shenanigans of the wonderful quiz where Sharpie is now way out in front. We've got a blue, so Sharpie, you're going to be needed here. We've got Edward on the line. You were there. Edward wants to talk about the formation for Sunday, yeah?
Yeah, that's right. Evening, gentlemen.
Hi, Edward.
Hello, Edward.
How are you all doing tonight?
Yeah, fine.
Good
you?
Night, yeah, good.
So you've got something about the formation. How do you think he's going to go Saturday? Or Sunday, sorry.
Well, I think it's going to be quite an interesting one because I think maybe it might be time to try out 2 strikers up front. So maybe having Richarlison in, but also Tosin in as well.
Mm.
Because you've seen the likes of, say, the Leicester game when Tosin comes on and is able to change the game, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And as well against Crystal Palace when they brought two strikers into it. Mm-hmm. There was a lot more, I think, attacking prowess and able to bring the ball, and definitely, well, as you saw, a lot more chances to score and win the game. So maybe it is time to look, because obviously, like previous callers have said, Richarlison against United wasn't as great going forward in terms of the striker role. Mm-hmm. So maybe it's time to bring Tosin in alongside him. I don't know what your thoughts are on that.
It'd be an interesting one. If I'm honest, Edward, I can't see that happening. I think he's happy with the way things are going in terms of, you know, I thought if anything he might be thinking of three centre backs, with Jagielka coming in with Meunier to go alongside Michael Keane. But I'm not but I'm thinking maybe, and then I'm thinking to myself, I'm not too sure. And I'm thinking, does he still just stick with what he's got in terms of the formation he's got and not make any changes? I would be surprised if he went two up front. I can see what you're saying. I thought if he was, I think he might even have went with Dominic Calvert-Lewin, just simply because he's maybe got more, how can I say, more, he's quicker, he's better in the air. So he might have, if he was going to play two, he might even have went with Dominic Calvert-Lewin. But I think I think I would be surprised if he went with the two centre forwards at the weekend. Mm. I think he's quite happy what he's got and what he's seen so far. Obviously, Zuma's going to be a miss, but Meunier comes back in for him, so it's not a bad replacement. I think he'll probably go the same formation and stick with Richarlison up top on his own. Bernard on the left hand side. Bernard is an interesting one because of the physicality of Chelsea. You know, so I think he could so easily, he might even play Calvert-Lewin down that left hand side, you know, which would be a surprise because I think Bernard has still got plenty to offer from an attacking point of view. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's not the most physically, you know, strongest, especially against a strong Chelsea team.
Yeah, they're big, aren't they? Rudiger's there at the back, isn't he?
It's a big ask kind of thing. But I think the manager's been pleased with what he's seen. So
yeah, definitely, yeah.
I don't think there'll be many changes. But the worrying thing for me at times is when you've got Bernard on one side and Walcott on the other side, it's, you know, it's not the biggest, you know, side going up against Chelsea, who, as Al said there, are physically strong. But no, I think he'll probably go just with the one up top and Richarlison and see how it goes. And then as the game goes on and progresses, he may have to change it and change formation. But I just think it will be an interesting one. But I think it'll be a decent game. I think they're in decent form at the moment. But I think we are as well. And I think we can cause them problems on the attack and getting after their back four a little bit. They like to get forward, push your full-backs forward. And when you've got somebody like Bernard and Walcott, can hopefully exploit the spaces that they leave.
Yeah, definitely. I think with that sort of like pace as well that you've got with the likes of Bernard and Walcott, that will definitely help them. Mm-hmm. And even if Calvert-Lewin did come in, it's a rotation role base, isn't it? Then Richarlison and Calvert-Lewin can both swap over, can't they?
Yeah. Listen, Chelsea, we know, Edward, especially with the boy Hazard, and everybody knows what a fantastic player he is. And Ross Barkley, if he's there, and you know, the Kovacic and all, they've got some fantastic players. So we know it's going to be really, really tough. But I'd like to think that we can have spells in the game and we can get after them. And as John said as well, at times, you can get after them a little bit. I still think Luiz is somebody that you can get after. Can cause problems. He can cause his own problems, sorry. But it's got all the makings of a good game.
I hope so. I'll be going to that one as well, so you never know.
Yeah, well, fingers crossed.
Got to leave it there. Thanks very much indeed, Edward, for your thoughts.
Edward,
going down to Stamford Bridge. Let's hope he's a lucky charm and ends that 24-year wait. Chelsea are winning 1-0 in Bartek Borisov. Giroud has got the goal there, so we'll see how they progress. Final seconds. What do you reckon Sunday? Sharpie says it's going to be the biggest win ever for Liverpool.
He's trying to jinx us, Sharpie.
No,
we should win. You know, with all due respect, the way the league is at this present moment in time, you look, they've conceded 28 goals. You know, that's like three a game. Mm. You know, and he's not got a settled back four. So, yeah, I think we'll win. I don't know. I'm not going to put the jinx on it, but we'll win comfortably.
You'll take a draw down there, Sharpie?
No, I'll take a win. I'll win.
Yeah. Thanks very much. That's Jeez, the Legends. Lad. Back, of course, on Monday, as always. Same time, same place, 6:30, Radio City and Radio City Talk. Thanks for their contribution. Legends back again on Monday. I'll be back tomorrow morning on Radio City Talk at 7 for breakfast. Thanks very much to the production team, particularly Christian and Matty, for all their sterling work.